الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ولي الصالحين ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا ونبينا وشفيعنا محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم أعهد إليكم يا بني آدم أن لا تعبدوا الشيطان إنه لكم عدو وأن اعبدوني هذا صراط مستقيم وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون ما أريد منهم الرزق وما أريد أن يطعمون إن الله هو الرزاق ذو القوة المتين آمنت بالله صدق الله العظيم اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الأنبياء يا زين الأنبياء يا شفيع المذنبين السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أما بعد We begin by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek His mercy and guidance and protection in all our lives and especially at the moment of our death, our transfer from this world to the next world. And in the grave, and also in the field of Hashr, and on the Day of Judgment, and on the final meeting. And we ask of His good pleasure, and beholding His beauty in the eternal forever, lasting kingdom of heaven and Jannah. And may His blessings and peace infinitely be upon all Anbiya alayhim salam and Rusul, especially on His most beloved, the most honorable, the most venerable, the most high, Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his blessed family, upon his blessed companions, and upon everything which is attributed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rightly. It was the blessed habit and blessed way of Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam that when the month of Ramadan was due for beginning, he alayhi salatu wa sallam would give a sermon, a discourse, words of nasiha and guidance to the Sahaba Rizwanullah alayhim ajma'in as how to prepare for this month and the purpose of this month of Ramadan. So mashallah, I believe you should have heard this from the ulama and salihin about that khutbah, about that nasiha, about that guidance of Prophet ﷺ. But now the month of Ramadan have passed. And through the mashayikh of Tariqa Muhammadiyah and the people of this silsila, their habit is also to narrate and convey the guidance which they attain through the teachings of the mashayikh from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam for people, for his ummah after the month of Ramadan. After the month of Ramadan. And what to do now? The Ramadan came and it is over. So, can we go back? Or what should we do now? Did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam give any guidance upon this matter or not? How is it possible that he would not give guidance when he even taught people and his ummah how to relieve themselves, how to eat, how to go to toilet, how to sleep, on which side to sleep? And Prophet ﷺ mentioned that there is nothing beneficial for my ummah which I have not mentioned. And there is nothing which is harmful for my ummah which I have not mentioned. Hazur alayhi salatu wasalam ne farmaya ki koi cheez bhi aisi nahi maine chhodi jo meri ummat ke liye fayda mand ho aur maine wo bayan na ki ho, aur koi cheez aisi bhi nahi ki jo nuksan de ho wo maine bayan na ki ho. So Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam verily and surely mentioned the guidance which I have in front of me for the people for after Ramadan. Because many of us are existing, not living. Many of us are just merely existing. Bahut sare hamare log hain wo zinda nahi hain, unka sirf wujood hai. Allah اس کے رسول کی نظر میں وہ زندوں میں شامل نہیں. Many of us are just existing by the existence given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we are not living. There is a difference between existing and living. The stones exist, but they are not living. The trees also exist, but they don't have the life as Allah Azawajal has given to human beings, the potential they have. What is the sign of people who are just existing? Who are just existing? Un logon kya kya nishani hai ki wo jo sirf jinka wujood hai wo zinda nahi. Wo kyunki Huzur Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those people who are in His real remembrance, they are the people who are living. And who are not, they are the people who are not living in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sign of that the person is merely existing is that he is at the mercy of circumstances, of ahwal, of things which happen in the world. The sign of that the person is not living, is just existing like a stone, is that he is at the mercy of the circumstances of the time. So let us say, for example, a small stone is in the way, lying. If
dog comes, and the way the dog can also move it out of the way, or just kick it, or just hold it and have to take it somewhere. If a child comes, he can do that as well. If a human being comes, he can kick the stone and the stone will go on. Why? Because the stone is existing, but it's not living. So the sign of the person, if a human being is just merely existing on this face of the earth, but not living, is that the things in this world, they are using him. They are abusing him. They are kicking him. They are slipping him. They are battering him. And in that even he can include Shaitan as well. Because he is merely existing like a dummy. Like he doesn't have any energy. So if the flow of fashion comes, he just actually, the fashion takes him with him. Because he doesn't have any life which he can stand in front of it. A flow of the fashion, of the lifestyle, of the people, of the time come, he will just flow in there. If Shaitan comes to him, he will come and whatever he wants him to do, he will just do it. Why? Because he is just following the crowd. Which we say, the following the sheep, like the sheep and cattle, they walk in crowds. If financial circumstances, all other things come, a person is taken there. And what is the sign of the person who is living? A sign of a person who is living is that he is at the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is rahmatul lil alamin. He is not manipulated. He is not controlled by the circumstances, but circumstances and shayateen and the evil of the world is controlled by him as far as he is concerned. What other people do, he tries to save them as well. He tries to guide them as well. But many of them would not listen. So the mashayikh say that the first thing you should learn is to live, not merely to exist. As far as existing is concerned, Shaitan is also existing. But his life is not life. As far as existence is concerned, the people in the hellfire, they will be existing as well. But Allah Azza wa Jal says they will not be living as such. ثُمَّ لَا يَمُوتُ فِيهَا وَلَا يَحْيَا. Nor they are going to die, nor they are going to live. And that life actually is reflected by the life here. So, very easy to know that you exist merely, or you exist and live as well. A person who exists, drugs control him. Women control him. Women's eye control him. Women's beauty control him and his heart. Because everything in the universe uses and abuses him. He has become slave to them. A beautiful woman can control him. Her looks can control him. A song can control him. And some kind of glittering, any glittering thing can control him. Little bit of enjoyment from drugs, little bit of enjoyment from watching a film can control him. So he is slave all the time. A person does not have option not to be slave. Remember, a person does not have option not to be slave. A person does not have option not to be slave. He has to be slave. Either he can be slave of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and abd of Allah, or he can be slave of Shaitan and slave of people. There is no middle way. So those people who think, no, we are not worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have not assigned our life to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are living independently, they are not living independently. They are not living independently. They are living under the very evil and mean and lowly slavehood of shaitan and nafs. Because there are only these two things, matters. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran as well, either it is khutwat shaitan or khutwat muhammadi. There are footsteps of shaitan or the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because we have not seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot follow Allah azza wa jal because we have not seen him. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the only person, I am saying this with now my responsibility, he is the only person amongst all creation of Allah, amongst all angels, amongst all prophets, amongst all messengers, who is the sahabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you know that? That no person in the universe, in the past, or in time of Prophet ﷺ, or in the hereafter, even in Jannah, can be the sahabi of Prophet ﷺ, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So like, for example, many of us, we see Rasulullah ﷺ in the dream. We see Prophet ﷺ in the visions. We can see Prophet ﷺ in our imagination. And we will see he ﷺ in the grave. We will see Prophet ﷺ on the Day of Judgment. And we will see in Jannah as well. But will we become Sahabi? Will we become companion? Will we become companion? Will we have the same status of the Sahaba, Rizwanullah alayhim ajma'in? No. Although we have seen him, so the condition of the Sahabi is to see Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in this life, in this worldly life, in this temporal body, before the spirit leaves the body, in this worldly life, 60, 70, 80, 90 years. If the person have seen Prophet ﷺ in the state of Iman and Prophet ﷺ has seen him, he becomes Sahabi. Now if you think about who have seen in this life Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can see Sayyidina Musa al-Islam making a request. We other Anbiya al-Islam have very high status. We, our tongues do not even deserve to actually just to mention their names as well. But I am mentioning to you the positive status of Prophet ﷺ, that in this life, when Prophet ﷺ went to Mi'raj, he was existing in with his this body. He was existing and living in his body which was given to him in this world, whilst he was born in the house of Sayyida Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha, he was born. So in that state of living, in that state of wakefulness, he saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So by definition, only the Sahabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine, so what to have or what to think of the person who follows Prophet sallallahu alayhi footsteps and the other's footsteps are of shaitan. There is no middle way. So all those people who think they are following someone or they are following themselves, or they are not following anyone, they knowingly or unknowingly, wittingly or unwittingly, they are following shaitan. So those people who are living, their sign is that they are at the mercy of Allah and at the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are the people who are living. They are the people who are living. Others, this is not their life. What is the life of slave? Of shaitan. What is the life of a slave of dunya? He's a slave. He's enslaved. He can't be said that he is living. So that is why these people are going to be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them so much status and they had the potential to reach Allah, to become the follower of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to enter Jannah with the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they chose actually the other path. People think their concept of living and satisfaction and of enjoyment is what? Three things: looking good, feeling good, and having the goods to make you feel good and look good. That is the concept. In the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not this. So looking good, meaning you see how much women, how much men spend on all these cosmetics, all these suits. What is the reason? They want to look good. Looking good, and they want to feel good. For feeling good, they need some things. Maybe it's drugs, maybe it's alcohol, maybe it's women, maybe it's other things. And having the goods, that is the concept. That they think, if they have these things, they think they are the blessed people. Looking good, they are looking good in the sight of shaitan, not in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are feeling good, and they want to have the goods to look good and feel good. While the mashayikh says that the person's value is not based on the person's valuables. A person's value, your value in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not based upon your valuables. Otherwise, then there are many people mentioned in the Quran who are condemned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are cursed by Allah azza wa jal, like Pharaoh, Namrud, and Abu Jahl, and other people as well. People of affluence, people of money, people who had good looks. Abu Lahab was a good looking person. They were looking good, they were feeling good, they had the goods, so they thought they are better. They are better, they deserve more, they are enjoying. In the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the person who gains significance, you even know, rich people you see, the person who passes in a very big posh car, love doesn't follow him. Respect doesn't follow him. Your heart even does not respect him. Your heart actually does not go love him. Rather, there is a sign, a flame of hypocrisy, a flame of jealousy, a flame of hasad which actually comes in you. Why? I don't have anything like this. So even you yourself are witness for that, that a person's value or honor is not based upon the valuables which the person actually holds. Which the person holds. In Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sight, and Rasulullah's sight, and how he lived his life, they say that the person becomes significant, the person becomes loved by Allah and loved by people is how? You see, a person works for two things in this world. As I said, to have valuable thing, be it money, be it car, be it property, some kind to do with wealth. And the other is influence, the might, the fame, the name. You can conclude, summarize things of the worldly people in these two things. Either it will be something related to wealth, or it is related to influence, the power, the fame and name and glory. These are the two apex or climax things which Shaitan has actually lured people. He has lured people to attain these things. And he has made them understand that these are the actual things you should also work for, you should also live for, and you should also try to attain them. Namely what? Anything to do with money, wealth, property, bank balance, cars, states, mansions. Number two, influence, power, fame and name. Now just for a few minutes, ponder over that the person who have these two things,
he doesn't have any honor in the sight of Allah whatsoever, merely based upon these things, nor he has honor in the sight of people as well. To Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a sahabi radiyallahu ta'ala who came, he said to Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I want you to advise me something, give me some guidance on what matter, that I do something by which Allah will love me and people will love me. Allah will love me and people will love me. So he asked Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is quite a difficult question, because people do not become, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala satisfied you, people are not satisfied with you. If people are satisfied with you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes there are clashes between their commands. So this person asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam a question. Ek sahabi sawal karte hain Nabi alaihi sallallahu alaihi wasallam ki bargah mein, ki ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mere maa baap aap par qurban, mujhe farmaiye kuch amal, kuch nuskha bataiye ke jo main ikhtiyar karun ke Allah bhi mujhse mohabbat kare aur log bhi mujhse mohabbat kare. That Allah loves me and people loves me. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is ocean of knowledge, is city of knowledge. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Izhar," that abstain from the love of dunya and Allah will love you, and abstain from what people are aiming for, which is wealth and fame, people will love you. Because all these people who are, after all, politicians, or at the religious leaders, false religious leaders, or politicians, or other social people who are actually trying to get to high stages, really what they want is these two things, wealth and also the fame and respect and honor of people. But unfortunately, the way they are adopting is, if they won't attain this. Why? Because this way was adopted by people previously as well, in this ummah as well as actually in the previous ummah. Like I gave you the example of people who clashed with Anbiya alayhi salam. They were mostly people of affluence. If you read the Quran, وَإِلَىٰ عَادٍ أَخَاهُمْ هُودًا وَإِلَىٰ ثَمُودَ أَخَاهُمْ صَالِحًا. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that I sent this prophet to his nation, this prophet to his own nation, you'll find that immediately after, the verse begins with قَالَ الْمَلَأُ الَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا, that the people of prestige, rich people, people of influence, they said to him, we do not believe in you because you are a person like us. We want to see an angel. You are a person like us, you are a Bashar like us. How can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveal on you? But the point is, which I am trying to convey to you, that it was the people of influence, people of wealth, wealthy people, they mostly became against or became or opposingly in animosity and try to stop the message of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. So Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the advice is that if you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to love you, if you want the people to love you, then abstain from the love of dunya and don't compete with the people in what they are running after, which is wealth and fame. People are already after and they are competing. If you join that race, if you join that race where they are trying to gain wealth, you are trying to gain wealth, they are trying to earn fame and name and glory, you also want that, you are competitors. You are partners in that race. How can they love you? They will hate you. They will abase you. They will try to finish you even outrightly.
Because they will see that you are a threat to them. Because you are, but Prophet said that if you abstain from the love of dunya and what is in the hands of people, what they are going after, then Allah will love you and people will love you. Where do we find this? In the lives of awliya salihin, the righteous people. Many of them you will see or read about, nor they had any worldly status as such, like they were prime minister, or they were ministers, or they were governors, nor they had actually big bank balances, or they were very rich people. Some of them were, but they were not respected because of that. So where they were, their respect? Why do you still love the righteous still? Why do you still love the Sahaba Rizwanulayhim Ajbain, the Awliya Allah of the past? They are loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are loved by people even after century, decade after decade. The thing is that you don't see them as competitors to you. They were not in the partner in the rat race which we are in. You understand what a rat race is, that they are running and they don't know where they are going really, why they are going there. So these people of dunya, the Mashayikh say, they are in a rat race. Meaning they are running, they want honor, they want some status in the sight of Allah, they want status in the sight of people, but they don't know how to get. So they are running, they see everyone is running after wealth, everyone is running after fame, they say, okay, we'll run as well. We want a big car as well, we want a big house as well, we'll earn money, no matter it is by fraud, no matter it is by doing zulm and oppressing people, confiscating people's lands, confiscating people's properties, doing khiyana and being dishonest in the amanats of people, they're not concerned. So it's a rat race, they don't know. If you really want to see the state of people of dunya, you should see the rat race. When the rats are running here and there, just why they are running? Don't know. They want something but they don't know what, how to attain it. And many awliya Allah, they have said that really these people who have become like the dogs of dunya, like Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala said, ad-dunya jifa, dunya is a dead, like a dead animal, murdar, wa talibuha, and its desirers and its wanters are kilam, they are dogs, they are like dogs. پرانے دنیا حضرت علی نے فرمایا یہ مردار ہے اور اس کے چاہنے والے کتے ہیں. And many of the awliya salihin, they say that really who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the insight, they can really see their inner selves have changed their forms and they have become into like animals. In the previous nations, in previous ummas, that people when they really went to love dunya, Like Allah gives the example of some Jewish people, that they wanted to fish in the ponds. It was basically love of dunya. Allah changed some of them into monkeys, some of them into swines and pigs. But this ummah, why? By the blessed wasila of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, their faces, their outward forms are not going to change as such, especially as a whole. There can be one or two individual cases, but their outward form is not going to change. But this is only related to the outward form, that you will be looking, I will be looking like a human being, but in the spiritual world, I might be a dog. In the spiritual world, I might be a scorpion. In the spiritual world, I might be a donkey. The qualities which I have attained, picked up, that's my inner self that is going to change. And Anbiya alayhi salam, verily, many of awliya Allah and many of pious people, they also see these things. They can see a person, but they won't see the person. They will see the person who is a like a dog, and a monkey, what could they say? So they try to, that's called purification. They try to purify, they try to do tazkiyah so that this person comes back in the human form which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. So running, running, running after where? I want fame, I want money, so I'm running after fame and money. Will I get? No, because I am competitor with all other people. There are 1 million people, for example, in the city. They all want something. They're not going to be loved. It is like there's one dunya, Sayyidina Isa bin Maryam, alayhi salam, he said that he saw dunya in the form of women in a dream. Imam Abu Hamid Ghazali, rahmahullah, he says that Sayyidina Isa, alayhi salam, he says that I saw dunya in the form of a woman, very attractive clothes. Now imagine if dunya is a woman, and let's say there's a woman, there's a here in this world, and there are 10 people who want to marry. There are 10 people who want a share. Will there be love of each other in them? Will there be harmony or respect of each other amongst those 10? Or will they fight to death? And maybe none of them actually get there. That is the example of dunya. Like Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam said that this dunya is like a woman. If you join the crowd to get the fame and name and wealth, you are not going to be loved by Allah. You are not going to be loved by the people as well, by the righteous. And that is the secret why only Allah are loved by Allah and the people. They are not loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. They are loved by the righteous people as well. The good people love them as well. The righteous believers, they love them as well. And they didn't have both of these things. They didn't have fame, meaning any worldly office. They didn't have actually such a wealth that they were millionaires or billionaires. So what to do then? What to do? What to do is, if you want to be significant, if you want to be valuable in the sight of Allah and in the sight of people. Look, I normally speak about that just prefer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today I'm speaking to you that if you want something in the sight of people, there is a way as well. عام طور پر تو ہم بات کرتے ہیں اس سلسلے میں کبھی اللہ کے ہاں اپنی قدر پہچانو اور وہی اپنا مرتبہ چاہو. آج جو حضور علیہ السلام کی حدیث کی بات بیان کیا تھا آپ علیہ السلام نے, دنیاوی بھی نسخہ بتایا ہے کہ اگر لوگوں میں ہی بندہ چاہتا ہے وہ بھی مجھ سے محبت کرے تو اس کا بھی طریقہ ہے. There is a way to do that, but that way is not the way which the politicians are using, which the pseudo-religious people are using, which actually the wealthy people are using, which the pop stars are using. That is not the way. So what is the way? The way is, if you want to be significant, if you want honor in the sight of Allah, if you want honor in the sight of people, in the sight of people, what is the way? Have valuables. Have valuables. The valuables, the property, the money which you have, if you give this to people for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake, if you learn giving, if you learn giving, that is going to actually gain in the sight, honor in the sight of Allah. If you have been giving for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also in the sight of people, you will also have significance as well. So we are doing completely the opposite thing. We think taking is, there is honor in there. There is fame in there. There is more pleasure in there. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life, if you look at Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam's life, you will see this factor very, very apparent. I don't have this factor as old actually, but those people who adopted and those followed Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam, here is of himself, his blessed habit was giving or taking. Just ponder over a few minutes on that. His blessed state, dominant state in his life, his blessed sunnah, his blessed habit, his blessed way was giving or taking. His blessed day was giving. He would give to people even he had not. He would take even credit
and that he give to people. He will be in that. People who are searching honor in money and property, and they should take a lesson that Rasulullah sallallahu, when he had started down, we were veiled from him, and the Sahaba was veiled. Jab aap al-Islam ne parda farmaya, when a Prophet left this world outwardly, he was in debt. Aap al-Islam usko makroos the, zahiri taur par. Jab aap al-Islam ne parda farmaya, to aap al-Islam makroos the. And Ma'isha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha says that Prophet al-Islam armor was actually with a Jewish person who we took some money in return. And they say that there was no, Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha says that there was not sufficient oil to illuminate the room of or for her house. In those last days, in olden time, people used to use lanterns, churag, mombatti, yani ko shama kehte hain, ya churag, lanterns. There was not sufficient oil. The oil finished and the lamp were extinguished. And that, Ma'isha says that I borrowed some from the neighbors. I borrowed some oil from the neighbors. Ye hai Hazur Ali Sallallahu Islam ki aakhri din, is zahri hayat mein Apal Islam ki aakhri mubarak din. Last few days, she borrowed just to keep the house little bit aligned. And she says that that oil also finished. It was used up and it was the lamp extinguished. And Prophet Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when Israel Ali Sallam came, there was darkness in the room due to the extinguished of lamp. Only the light which was there was the light of the blessed face of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. فرمایا کہ جو نور تھا وہاں وہ صرف حضور علیہ السلام کا نور تھا. اس کے سوا وہ جو ایک کسی سے ادھار پر تیل لائی یہ حضرت عائشہ سے, وہ بھی ختم ہو گیا. اور اندھیرے گھر میں, worldly in terms, اندھیرے گھر میں حضور علیہ السلام نے پردہ فرمایا. اور رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, آپ علیہ السلام مقروض اس وقت تھے, جو یعنی اس حالت میں کہ آپ کی زرہ یہ نہیں تھی کہ یعنی زرہ رکھی ہوئی تھی, ہی علیہ السلام آپ مربر میں جو ہوئی پر چاہتے. So those people who are trying to earn or at least seek honor in the money, they should really think very seriously that is there any person more honorable than Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Is there anyone who has more status than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Is he, alayhi salam, is not the most beloved person who is loved by Allah and who is the most beloved by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and most beloved by people as well in the world? He is. So the way to, if you want to earn that, is actually the valuables which you have to give them away after your needs. You can be a rich person, but you can be a giving person as well. There are people in the world I know of. Main aise logon ko janta hoon ki jo apne aamdan ka, they are living on 10% of their earning and 90% they give away. Aise logon ko bhi main jaante hain, aise log bhi hain, ameer bhi hain, wo bhi zinda hain, they are also living. Allah ne unko aur zyada diya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more. They are giving, hum to 2.5%, 2.5% zakat dene se jo hai wo kataraate hain na, that we actually find difficulty to actually to give zakat of 1.5% or sadaqah a little bit here and there. And there are people in this world, ask me, I'll tell you, that they are living and live on their 10% and 90% they are living. But how is their life? They are very honorable people. They are honored by people. In their own way, they are pleasing their God. So the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam give us lesson also. We should know that these people have the very high honor, level of honor, level of fame, level of name. We see Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, especially our messenger Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the way that we are doing exactly the opposite thing. We are saying when things come to us, we'll be very, very satisfied. They are saying when you give, then you will be significant in the sight of Allah. So if you have wealth, the way to earn love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, love of people, love of and fame and name in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to give those valuables, give that wealth after your necessary needs. And what other thing which you should have or you have, many people have, is influence, power. Maybe you have a special status in the society. You are a leader of your tribe. You are imam of a mosque. You are an employer. You own a shop. You own a taxi. You own a factory. Everyone has some kind of status. Kullukum, probably all of you have some responsibility. You are a place of responsible place you are at. So if you have influence, use that influence for the betterment of people in this world and hereafter. So two things there are, people are running behind, and you should know how Rasulullah ﷺ used these two things. He alayhi salatu wasalam, how he used these two. He had money. He was not a poor person. His richness were more, even actually the richness of Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam. Because Sayyidina Abdul Aziz the Baqir rahimahullah says that even paradise, even Jannah was created from the light of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sayyidina Abdul Aziz the Baqir ne farmaya ki Jannat bhi Huzur alayhi salam ke noor se banayi gayi hai. So the Jannat is like a bag from Rasulullah's existence. And he rahimahullah said that the Jannat loves Prophet so much, not like us. We say we love Prophet and then when he says, come to my deen, come to my sunnah, then we say, no, I have a wife as well, I have children as well, what will people say of my street, what will my tribe and brotherly and brotherhood think about me, then it's these things. Then why make this claim? This is exactly what the munafiqeen did at the time of Prophet ﷺ. Abdullah bin Ubayy bin Salul and all others, when all the time they were in forefront, like I am giving you a discourse, when Prophet ﷺ stood up to give discourse, this person, Abdullah bin Ubayy, he would stand in front of Rasulullah ﷺ on the side and he would tell the people adab. He will tell the people to listen very carefully to Prophet ﷺ. Imagine, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq is sitting, radiyallahu ta'ala. Sayyidina Ali, radiyallahu ta'ala, is sitting. Sayyidina Usman, radiyallahu ta'ala, is sitting. The old Sahaba are sitting. But this person, Abdullah bin Ubayy, who was the leader of Munafiqeen, he would stand up and he would say, oh people, do you know who he is? He is the Messenger of Allah. I'll be a witness, he is Messenger of Allah. Listen very carefully. We will sacrifice our lives, our children for him. Look what he has done for us. And he would encourage people to sit and listen very carefully. And inside, when the time of sacrifice, time of jihad, time of da'wat and tabligh, time of any sacrifice, any demand from Prophet ﷺ came, he actually just actually discharged himself. He withdrew back. He would say, they would say, Ya Rasulullah, my wife is ill, I have children, my gardens, the fruit trees are bearing fruit, etc., etc. 101 excuse. If you want to find excuse, you can find excuse. If you want to fall while walking on the way, you can fall and say, I slipped on the footpath. There is no difficulty if a person wants to fall down. He can say, a stone came, he can say, my foot has slipped. He can easily phone. But if you want to find a way, you can find a way as well. In darkness, in where there are many pitfalls as well. If you want, you can find a way there as well. people who walk in darkness. So, Prophet Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life, and what he Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam practically and verbally gave us a lesson, that valuables if you have, you give them. That's how you're going to earn status significant in the sight of Allah and also loved by people as well. So Sayyidina Abdulaziz al-Dabbagh rahmullah says that if Allah Azzawajal had not stopped Jannah, it would have come to dunya with Rasulullah s.a.w. Aapne farmaya Sayyidina Abdulaziz al-Dabbagh rahmatullah alayhi ne ki agar Allah ka hukam na hota ki jannat ko wahan Allah ne rok rakha hai apne hukam se, to wo dunya mein hi Rasulullah s.a.w. ke paas aa jati. How it will come, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, but that's what he said. Said because the Jannah really loves Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam so much. Ki Jannat ko itni mohabbat hai Nabi alaihi sallallahu alaihi wasallam se. Itna wo chahti hai Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ko. Kyunki wo unse, unki uski asal jo hai wo Noor-e Muhammadi sallallahu alaihi wasallam hai. And how Prophet alaihi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used his honor, he used his status for people. You know, he had status, he had honor more than anyone else. But what did he do? He used it for himself? He used it for himself? No. He used it for the weak. He used it for the people who are bereft of goodness, who are lost, who lost the way, who have gone to shaitan. He used his influence to call them back, to grant goodness to them, and in this world and hereafter. So he would help poor people in this world, and he would also help the people who are poor from virtues, who don't have enough good deeds. And finally, imagine that me and you, we feel shameful to go to the shop to return a thing which we have bought. Many of our children, many of adults, they don't go to return things to shops even. They say that what will the shopkeeper say? They don't go to store. You give to your son, daughter, that go return. I am not going back there. Although you have bought it from there, you have the receipt, they don't like to go. But if they have gone once to a superstore or there to return thing and they have bought another one, and you say to them again, go again and return this pair of shoes. You will say, I will tolerate the loss of this 10-15 pound. Then people don't like to go. They feel shameful. Well, there is nothing to be ashamed for that. People feel shame to go and knock on a Muslim brother's door or a non-Muslim door to invite them to Islam, to invite them for righteousness, to invite them for the mosque, invite them for the sunnah. They say, oh, my status is a little high. Why I shall go? People should come into the mosque. To me, people should come into my house. Then I will tell them. But look at Rasulullah ﷺ, how he knew his status. He would go to non-Muslims. He would go to their marketplaces. He would go to their houses. He almost went 100 times at the house of Abu Jahl to invite him toward the truth. He alayhi salatu wasalam had used his influence like this for the people. And going back to the shop, once you have bought, to go two times, three times, taking the same thing and returning again and again, people find difficult. But just bring to your mind for a moment the night of Mi'raj when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed a gift of 50 prayers to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's a gift. It's not something, a burden. It was a gift to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tohfa. Isn't it difficult to go back to a person, even a brother or a neighbor, to go back and return the gift? How hard it is for a normal person. And how hard it would be for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a person who doesn't have any significance of dunya and who doesn't want anything and who is want free. How hard it would be to just return that. You go to a buzurg, a wali of time, and he gives you a gift and you go and return it, I don't want, I think I don't want it. A portion of it I don't want it. It's a very, very difficult matter. But Rasulullah says, when he brought 50 pears, and Sayyidina Musa al-Islam said to him that Rasulullah brought for himself. He thought, yes, I can do it. But Sayyidina Musa al-Islam said that, yes, Ya Rasulullah, O Muhammad, you will be able to do it, but your people will find it very difficult. This is using influence for the weak and the weak people and for the other people. Rasulullah had a status in the sight of Allah. He had a prestige, he had honor in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said, Ya Allah, this is a blessed gift which you have given, but my ummah will not be able to, which they will have difficulty. Oh, a person can think, doesn't Allah know this? That He has given it? It will be difficult for people? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. But Prophet Islam goes back. Who else could do this apart from Rasulullah? Who could do and go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say reduce? No one has the power to speak. No one has the communication. The revelation only comes upon Rasulullah. So Prophet comes once. Then Sayyidina Musa says again, Ali Islam, he goes twice, he goes three times, four times, five times. It's easy to say five times, six times, but how difficult it is to do. Going back again, back and back for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our Prophet, Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah, the Prophet of all the creation, he goes back for his ummah nine times. And we today feel shameful even to keep beard, even actually to follow his sunnah, even to actually preach his message, even to convey the message of sunnah to people. So how else he will use his status? Look at Prophet Islam. Ponder over his life. How he is going to use his status? He is going to use his status on the day of judgment by shifa. He has status in the sight of Allah, but how is he going to use? He is going to use for the sinful. He is going to use for the weak people who are on the day of judgment, who Jahannam has become wajib upon them. He is going to use this status. So I have just given you some examples from Rasulullah's life, and you and me also should learn from it. And that the way, yes, you want fame and name and glory, good and well, but adopt the right way to attain it. And what is the way of gaining fame and name and glory in the sight of Allah and in the sight of people? Is if you have money, wealth, give it. If you have influence, office, power, use it for their betterment, for their ease, for their convenience. Do shafa' of them. Use your power. Use your, if you are a chaudhry, then use your chaudhrahat for the weak ones. If you are a statesman, use it for the most have-nots people. Whatever influence you have, that is, if you use this, then that is the way actually to eternal and life of pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this way you will also gain the love of people as well as with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Izhad fi dunya yuhibbuka Allah. Adopt zuhud in dunya, Allah will love you. And izhad and adopt zuhud, what is in the hands, aydin nas, in the hands of people, yuhibbuka nas, people will love you. And how to use it, I've only summarized in a very, very easy way. No, nothing difficult. Two things you have in the world. Either you have some money, property, anything you have, or you have some kind of honor, prestige, office, status. Those two things, how they should be used according to the sunnah. Number one, wealth, give it away, you are going to gain fame and name in the sight of Allah, glory in the sight of Allah, in the sight of people. If you have affluence, influence, authority, power, use it for the betterment of people, then you are going to attain the love of Allah and the love of the people as well. And I have given you the example from Rasulullah's life, and all history is this example. Those people who did this, that's how actually they attained. And Sayyidina Abdul Qadir al-Jilani, rahimahullah, the Ghawsul Azam, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, Al-khayru kulluhu fi kalimatain. All goodness is in two words. Al-khayru kulluhu fi kalimatain. Ta'zeemu li amrillah wa shafaqatu ala khalq. That honoring, preferring the command of Allah, dominating the command of Allah in your entire life, and to have compassion upon creation. And Rasulullah ﷺ really expressed this practically, verbally in his life. As soon as, if you read the seerah, Masjid-e-Nabvi is being built. Al-Masjid-e-Nabvi is being built, the mosque of the Prophet ﷺ. At the same time, Prophet ﷺ instructed, yes, with the mosque, also something for the poor, the weak, the needy, which we know as suffa. Today you can see as well. Don't just see the ground. This is showing the concept of ta'zeemu li amrillahi wa shafqatu ala khalqillah. That actually to honor and to give preference to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command and to have compassion upon creation. And Prophet ﷺ life practically verbally shows this. Even in the building the mosque, at the same time the mosque is built, at the same time the chabutra, the suffa of Ashabi Sufa is built there as well. There, where the we can have shelter, they can have food, people will know. So you see how Rasulullah ﷺ brought all these two things together in Masjid Nabvi. But now, if there is, no, in Masjid Nabvi there isn't. The concept is gone. Rasulullah ﷺ introduced, so these people who say we follow Sunnah, Rasulullah ﷺ, where is the shelter for the weak and the orphans now actually near the mosque? Only that place, is that a showcase, na'udzubillah? Rasulullah only did this for his time? No, he actually left it an example for all times, that whoever will want to gain closeness to Allah and follow my way, this is my way, actually to help the weak in belief, and the sinners to bring them towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that they become rich with virtues and sawab and nekiyah, and those who are poor wealthy, wealth-wise, also to help them as much as you can. So thus, Ashabi Sufa's shelter and the Masjid Nabvi side by side, very near the mosque, now it's as though it has come in the mosque. At that time it was separate. So here I finish actually, and I again summarize it, that everyone, most people like me who are not really very knowledgeable, and nor actually they are following their own knowledge rather, they are after fame, name, wealth, honor, want significance, want recognition, want approval in the sight of people. But Rasulullah has shown us the way how to attain approval, significance, honor in the sight of Allah, in the sight of people as well. And what? Lastly I say, if you have money, wealth, give it for the pleasure of Allah. If you have power, authority, use it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the weak, and inshallah you will also gain the same status, the same kind of treatment, the fraction of it, what actually the mu'mineen and believer and muttaqeen and righteous believer that you receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We finish on that. You know, if you have any question, you can ask, otherwise we start the zikr majlis.
Inshallah. If you have any questions, as I said, you may not ask, so please raise your hand and only ask when you have been selected. As for the system, they have sent some questions down already. If you wish to send down further questions, then like before, please give them to one person and by their mahram, send the question down. So if there's anybody here in the hall who would like to ask a question, please raise your hand.
Someone have asked a question. I heard that you can only be angry at a person for 3 days, and after this, it becomes a sin. You can be displeased and show your displeasure for 3 days. You can't be angry for 3 days. I think it will be difficult for anyone to be angry for 3 days, because that comes and goes. But the right way to say that you can actually cut ties. You can stop speaking with the person for maximum 3 days for worldly reason. For worldly reason, if you got, for this person drinks alcohol, or this person doesn't come to the mosque, or this person sells alcohol, or this person actually does this, or he have done a bad thing, you can cut ties. For this is for maybe for being. You can do it for longer, as long as that person doesn't return. But for worldly reasons, for dunya, for worldly reason, dunyavi topar, that I gave him a pair of shoes and he gave me a cheaper pair of shoes, so I'm not going to speak. Or that person have not invited me for a long time. I said salam and he did not really respond very well to me. Or he didn't give me a lift. So things like this, a person shouldn't, if there any dispute arises, it's better actually not to take revenge, not to be displeased for dunya. It was not the sunnah of Rasulullah. Amma Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala says, Prophet never showed displeasure and anger for his own self, for dunya. Here Islam would stand up for the rights of others and he would become angry for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. He would not take revenge, never he has in his lifetime. Amma Aisha farmati hai, Nabi kabhi bhi apni zaat ke liye badla nahi liya kisi se. Duniyavi taur par. Deen ke liye, dusron ke liye aap alaihi salam khade ho. To pehle to karna hi nahi, agar kar sakta hai banda, if you are displeasure for 3 days, for worldly, duniyavi taur par. Deeni taur par, you can stay as far as the person does. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar apne bete se puri zindagi nahi bole ki usne ek sunnat par itraz kar diya. Son of Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he did not really object, but he just questioned the sunnah of Rasulullah sallam. Usne Rasulullah ki sunnat ke bare mein sawal kiya ki kyun aise karna chahiye. To aap radiyallahu ta'ala farmaya, bhai puri zindagi main tumse bolu, tum Huzur Ali Islam ki sunnat ke jawab mein apni aqal istemal karte ho, to ye Nabi Ali Islam ki mohabbat hai. Aur hum kaise mohabbat hai, hum aashiq bhi hai aur biwi pe haath dala hua hai with the wife, and she is completely out of hijab and nothing, and walking in Trafford Center and Winnington Road, and this person have a beard, and he is also mashallah very much great aashiq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. And then, so this is completely hypocrisy. If she does not listen to you, you can't beat her up. But you can say, I'm not going for shopping with you. I'm not going to company and sit romantically on a table while a candlelight is actually there. While you actually do not give any significance to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So a person can do that and show his displeasure. But for dunya reason, better not to, but you can do it for 3 days. Clapping, what is the Islamic point of view on this? Clapping is not the sunnah of the companion, the sunnah of the sahaba, Rizwanullahi Majma'in. That people do in social events, they can do, it's not sinful as such in social events like they have anything. But in religious events, it shouldn't be done. At a janazah, I saw a group of people doing dhikr loudly and plant flowers into the qabr one by one, the end it was full. Is this permissible, and is for what school of thought it is? For doing janazah and doing dhikr, it's not actually a requirement of janazah. If someone, instead of talking in worldly matter, if they do dhikr, they can do dhikr, but they won't say it is sunnah, it is an obligation of sharia. On the grave, someone wants to, it is mentioned the sunnah that Rasulullah said that anyone who plant a branch of tree until it remains fresh, it does the dhikr of Allah. So, but that was only done two branches, two of trees, not actually filling all the qabr with flowers. So one tree, one branch is sufficient if one is following. So one should not go to extreme in following actually these things. When it is said that when a person
revives the sunnah, the reward is it of a certain number of shaheeds, 100 shaheed. Does this mean that is not the sunnah which is not being practiced in a city or country, or if a person revives the sunnah in the home, does he get reward of 100 shaheed? This is for those sunnah that people have abandoned to act, and no one is acting in the city, village, wherever the person. Not he can't refer to the home, but if people have stopped doing that sunnah in the home and it is amongst those sunnah, people feel difficult or people feel pressure not to follow that sunnah, and you withstand that pressure and act upon that sunnah, that way of Prophet of Islam, that person will get a reward. 100 shaheed, because shaheed is martyred once, and this person will be martyred millions times. He will have to hear the sarcastic remarks, the admonition, the other remarks which people are going to give him day in, day out. So he will be like being shaheed every day until actually it becomes the norm. And Rasulullah said that in the last days of my ummah, following my deen and sunnah will be like putting a coal, a hot coal on your hand. It is difficult these times as well. But those people who do, their reward is great as well. If you have any more questions, mashallah, you can write them, and also if not, you can ask them later after Isha. We have now, inshallah, time for the majlis of zikr and durood for about 20 minutes, and thereafter we'll pray Isha prayers. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. مولاي صلِّ وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. محمد سيد الكونين والثقلين والفريقين من عرب ومن عجم.
والله الذي لا إله إلا
المهيمن العزيز المؤمن المهيمن العزيز المؤمن المهيمن العزيز المؤمن المهيمن العزيز المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر 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 سبحان الله عما يشركون سبحان الله عما يشركون سبحان الله عما يشركون سبحان الله عما يشركون سبحان الله عما استغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد سيدنا مولانا محمد
ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين اللهم ألهمنا رشدنا وعذنا من شرور أنفسنا واستر عيوبنا واستر عوراتنا وآمن روعتنا واحفظنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة اللهم متنا على الإيمان والسنة اللهم من أحييته منا فأحيه على الإسلام والإحسان اللهم من توفيته منا فتوفه على الإيمان واغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولمشايخنا ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات يا رب العالمين فارحم فرما ہماری ہمارے والدین مشائخ صاحبہ تمام مومن مسلمان مرد عورتوں کی مغفرت بخشش فرما یا رحم الرحمین اپنا قرب اور رضا عطا فرما یا رب العالمین مرنے سے پہلے پہلے سچی توبہ نصیب فرما ایمان کی حالت میں یا اللہ ہمیں موت عطا فرما حضور الاسلام کا قرب عطا فرما حضور الاسلام کا مشاہدہ عطا فرما یا رحم الرحمین ہم پر جتنے بھی چیزیں جن کو تو ناپسند فرماتا ہے وہ ہمارے لیے یا رحم الرحمین منع فرما دے ہم سے روک دے اور جن چیزوں سے تو اعمال سے محبت فرماتے ہم پر کھول دے ہمارے لیے آسانیاں پیدا فرما یا رحم الرحمین تمام لوگوں کو ہدایت عطا فرما تمام غیر مسلموں کو اسلام کے ساتھ ہدایت تمام مسلمانوں کو توبہ سنت کے ساتھ ہدایت عطا فرما خاص طور پر اس شہر کے لوگوں کو یا اللہ ہدایت نصیب فرما لوگوں کے دل دین حق کے لیے مسخر فرما نبی علیہ السلام کی عشق سنت دی کا محمدیہ کے مسخر فرما کہ وہ ان سے نفع اٹھائیں فائدہ اٹھائیں ہماری مدد فرما شیاطین کے خلاف ہماری نصرت فرما نفس و شیطان کے خلاف اور شیطانی فوجوں کے خلاف یا رب العالمین دنیا آخرت کی بھلائی عطا فرما دنیا آخرت کے شروع سے پناہ عطا فرما تیرے محتاج تاج ہیں تیرے بندے ہیں تیرے فقاری ہیں یا ہمیں بخشش عطا فرما رحمت عطا فرما حلال رزق عطا فرما حرام سے محفوظ فرما صلی اللہ علی النبی امہ وعلی آلہ وصحبہ وسلم تسلیما آمین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین استغفر الله.